Look at that.
Look at that. We're back. We're in night mode.
We are back. We are in night mode because we had someone, an actual photographer, was in the office and couldn't stand to see our horrible fluorescent lighting.
Exactly.
So I think it's a little blue, but better than what we had before.
We're missing neon signs in the background.
We are missing neon signs when we get famous one day.
Main shortcoming right now.
Okay, the main shortcoming.
Anyways.
Yeah, I'm sure our 8 subscribers really, really care.
I think we have 11.
So, oh, really?
No, I made that up.
Oh, I was going to say percentage-wise, that's a big lift.
Yeah, it is.
So we wanted to talk about a mental model, which mental models are near and dear to our heart. We've talked about 2 of them so far on the show.
Yes.
Only 2, actually.
Yeah.
Which is surprising. But, you know, we have to talk about AI so much, you know, they get sort of crowded out.
Yeah.
But the one you wanted to talk about was the mental model is don't outshine the master. And actually, it's not originally a mental model. We categorize it in the mental model, you know, sort of umbrella that we use for these concepts. But it's actually originally from a different source, which is the laws of power.
Yeah, the 48 laws of power?
Yes, 48 laws of power. And I think it's the very first
correct.
One.
Oh, is it?
In the 48 laws. I believe it is. Okay, so we want to put a definition to it, but you said you had a good intro.
I've got an intro. Okay, so the source of wisdom in our age is definitely Reddit. I think everybody would agree that that's where you go.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yes. Well, And if that fails, then go to X.
Right. All right. So this is the 48 laws of power subreddit, right? Mm-hmm. All right. So somebody post. I'm going to try to read this and read it and talk into the microphone at the same time. I've been outshining the master for years.
Oh, no.
And it has now caught up with me.
Wow. Whoa. Okay. This is great.
All right.
Continue.
I'm getting fewer opportunities. My boss is discrediting me when he has a chance to. I think I'm seen as a threat to him and his power.
Hmm.
But now I am too deep in. I just recently read the book referring to 48 Laws of Power. Just recently read the book, and I'm aware now of my mistakes. Where do I go from here? Now that I am already a threat, can I change my ways, or am I in too deep? It's like Dear Abby.
That is very Dear Abby. What? Okay, can you give me a definition of outshining the master? So this person said, I've been outshining the master for years.
Yeah.
What's your definition? And then I'll give my definition. Unless yours is...
I mean, mine's really simplistic. It's in a work context. I mean, it's older than that. Like, it's talking about, I was reading about it, and there's some interesting illustrations throughout history of a servant outshining the king or whatever.
Sure.
But in a work context, it's doing something to show up your boss. Whatever project or whatever you're working on and having it make your boss look bad because you're looking quote so good.
Okay, interesting.
It's my best.
That's more specific than how I think about it.
Yeah.
That's way more specific. I think that is one aspect of it, but I would actually zoom the definition out even more. And this may sound a little ambiguous, so we can add more detail to the picture, but I would say it's any time when you are treading in areas of authority that are equal to or above your boss.
Okay.
And without the explicit approval of your boss.
Yes. I like that. I like that better.
Okay.
Because, and here's why I like it. It is the, there are things you can do with delegated authority that are appropriate.
Yep.
Right? Essentially acting on behalf of your boss, say.
Yep.
There are things you can do with delegated authority that you absolutely shouldn't be doing. And there's things that it is situational.
Yes.
Where if you had an understanding with your boss or maybe an explicit conversation and you go do something with delegated authority, fine.
Yep.
But you could do that same thing, your boss completely be uninformed and it not be okay.
Yes. Okay, let's each try to give an example of that from our own career.
All right. I think for me, like technology things.
Yep.
So there's been a number of times when in a lot of this, like the dynamic, like it really depends on the company and that dynamic. So I can think of two instances.
Mm-hmm.
One positive one, just an awesome relationship with my boss. Like, and I had a ton of like authority to make decisions.
Yep.
And I made some major technological decisions, like mostly on my own.
Mm.
There was still some back and forth and he wanted to be informed and stuff, but like he just wasn't part of it.
Yep.
There's another situation where I acted in a very similar like vein, and this was earlier in my career. So I was like a lead or like maybe an IC.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one, I was like more of a manager director. So there's a mm-hmm. difference. Where like was making similar like technology recommendations mm-hmm. and like recommending like, oh, hey, we should like switch to this thing. It's better than what we're using, like mm-hmm. that thing, and like got in trouble.
Yeah.
So that's my best like
thing.
Cause I was like practically doing the same activities. One was positionally in a different like space between the two different companies.
Mm-hmm.
And that like I see your like lead versus like manager director matters, and like relationally in a different place.
Yep.
It was like super high trust environment, like great relationship. Other like company, like not so much.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
What about you?
Let me think. Here's one that comes to mind. So I was at a company and my boss was the VP marketing.
Okay.
And we had a CRO, chief revenue officer.
That your boss like rolled up to.
That my boss rolled up to.
Okay.
And I was in product marketing at the time, and the chief revenue officer, you know, reached out to me to work on a project with him specifically.
Right.
And it was a situation where, you know, the first thing I did was I went to my mm-hmm. boss, who's the VP of marketing. And I said, hey, you know,
right.
This is a tricky thing because he reached out to me. I just want to make sure, you know, you're aware of this and, you know, whatever. And same thing, ended up being fine. And I ended up sort of working on this project. You know, it's just a very, basically the CRO said, I want to pair with you and like go back and forth and like just us and get this work product to a point where, you know, I want to share it with like a wider group or whatever.
Right.
Which was super cool. But that was going way over like several people's heads who normally would be involved in that process. Right. And there were elements of, you know, we need to get this done very quickly. We do not want a committee that's going to slow down the process. There were just a lot of elements of let's get the work product, like, you know, 90% of the way there and then share it more broadly. Cause I think he had a pretty specific vision. But it was interesting because I don't think that he had asked my boss about that. I think, you know, and it wasn't like a gigantic company, but it was big enough to where the hierarchy and the protocol there was established, even if not, you know, implicitly, if not explicitly.
Yeah, that makes sense. So this, my favorite part about Reddit is like the majority of the posts, I feel like I read nowadays, it just says like parentheses, like deleted. Like it feels like, does everybody like constantly delete and recreate their accounts? Like, I don't know.
I don't know.
But like back to the question, here's what I think is interesting. So I think this happens. Like I think I've done it right. I think I've done it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like in this situation where the guy's saying like, I think I've been outshining the master for years and it's now caught up with me. Maybe you have, but I think this is a misdiagnosable thing where people like overvalue their contribution and their like piece and like think that they're outshining the master when in reality, like that probably isn't like the whole, cause that like, I don't know this guy obviously, but like, I'm getting fewer opportunities and my boss is like discrediting me. And it's like, maybe people just don't like to work with you.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not outshining the master. Maybe like people just don't like you.
Yeah.
Like that's possible.
I totally agree that it's misdiagnosable. Do you think that most people know when they're outshining the master? Because I think there's two flavors of this.
Okay.
One flavor is Machiavellian.
Okay.
Right? Which is you're a political, you know, you are largely a political creature. And so you're going to build relationships that, you know, that go above your boss's head or with your boss's peers.
Yeah, that benefit you.
Benefit you, right? Yeah, so there's a Machiavellian angle.
Yep.
You know, or I'm going to try to get involved in a project
that's
run by someone above or a peer to my boss,
right?
You know, as a way to climb the ladder, et cetera. And sure. I'm not, that sounds pretty negative.
Right.
I don't necessarily think it's negative all the time. But I think it mostly is. I think it is mostly an extremely self-serving effort, right? But I also think it can happen. I think it's actually more difficult when it happens without someone really knowing that they're doing it, which is common. And yeah. I've done that myself.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, same. Like it was just something. In like the case where I'd screwed this up, it was just something I had conviction about. And I was like, I just think we need to really do this. And like, you feel like people aren't paying attention to you and you just like kind of keep pushing the issue of like, this is what we need to do.
Yep. I'll give you another really common one, especially in startup world. This is incredibly common. So a lot of times in startup world, you have a much more flatter hierarchy than in a lot of other companies, right? And a lot of your communication channels are digital. And they're, especially in the earlier stages, you just get comfortable talking with people who are in positions of authority on a level that you wouldn't at a much larger company.
Yes, right.
You know, that have more hierarchy baked into the organizational structure. Right. And so, you know, when you're trying to figure out how to form a company and what your values are and how you operate, you know, according to those values, people come into the company who don't align with that necessarily, and they either have to figure it out or they're not a good fit for the company or whatever, which can be disruptive and people have very strong feelings about that. And so one thing that's really common and a mistake that I've made before is that, you know, if someone does something that is clearly like, this is not how we work, these aren't our company values or whatever, and let's say that person's in a different department and you're working on a project or something together, right? You know, you may be comfortable enough with that person's boss or even with someone on the executive team to say, hey, this person's really behaving in a way, and I'm saying this again, I think it can be very Machiavellian, but I think very altruistically, you can say, hey, I'm working on this project and this person's just operating in a way that does not align with our values, right? It's not customer centric. It's like whatever, right? And that feels like the right thing to do,
right?
But is actually a form of outshining the master.
Okay.
Because you are appealing to an authority source that is multiple steps above you directly.
Yeah.
And that can be very problematic.
Yeah.
And I think this is like a very subtle form of this, and maybe it's not officially outshining the master.
Right.
But this is pernicious. Like, I think that this is, and especially like if you're in a earlier stage company, you get comfortable doing this sort of thing.
Okay.
What happens is that when you do that, there may not be immediate perceived impact.
Is what you're describing essentially like a skip level complaint?
A skip level, yes, a skip level complaint, but it's more than that in that it is the establishment of skip level communications or even a skip level relationship.
Right.
And the challenge with that is, I think there are two major challenges with this. One is that when you do that, you immediately, your trust in you from the people who you skip, whether you report, especially if you report directly to them, but even if you don't, right? So in this example that I gave of like, it's someone who leads another department that I'm working for or whatever, right? And even if my, you know, complaint or the point that I'm making is legitimate on paper, if I go skip level, then that person's trust in me decreases and my own boss's trust in me decreases because I have gone directly to an authority level that's above them. Right. And which means like, okay, well, like,
and you like want them to do something or yeah, you there's want some them kind to, of request of
even if you don't necessarily, even if you don't necessarily, because, and I mean, you've seen this like as a, you know, you've seen this multiple times as a manager, but when someone does that, the calculus you have to run for yourself as a manager is, okay, what information do I give this person and what projects do I put them on? Because whether you like it or not, part of being a manager is controlling how information is distilled as it moves up the chain. Right? So the people at the top of the pyramid, even in a very flat company, they just don't have the time to consume all of the context. They need it distilled, right? And when you distill information, it loses fidelity. And so as a manager, you need to make sure your boss gets information about what's happening underneath you in its like purest distilled form so that they understand this is the most important stuff, And so when someone skip levels, even if it's not a complaint, you lose control of that. And so now I, with, if someone does that, it's like, okay, well, I don't control that narrative anymore, which means that my boss or this person above me may be getting two different versions of information. And that is really problematic for you as a manager, right? Super problematic. And, you know, so anyways, I think that's actually very, very common. And, but it's really easy to do that without realizing that it's a form of outshining the master.
But the flip side of it is there's this, there's actually a superpower in empowering your people to do that in the right way.
100%.
Because if you flip, like say you're a director or even an executive, because I'm trying to think of some examples like from previous roles or my previous role where like if you can, so a previous role I had three or four directors reporting to me. If I can spin off a director to work with another executive on a project, I'm aligned with them. The communication is like, you know, like clearly we're on the same page. The other executive can see it. And then my director like executes really well on that thing. That's the best.
It is the best. That's like, oh man, maybe we can look it up and put it in the show notes if we can find it. But someone said, this actually may have been way back on the Data Stack show. But someone gave this hiring advice where they said, you know, the best way to build a team is to hire people who can be in meetings that you can't be in and like do well in those on your behalf. And that sounds very, very simple, but actually it's not, because if someone can, if you say, hey, I can't make it to this meeting, but this is an important project or whatever, like, can you go there, understand what's going on, or, you know, whatever, that can actually be really problematic and create so much more work for you as a manager.
We were like, I should have gone to that meeting. This is a nightmare.
This is
like,
a nightmare. And so, and that's just lateral or lower. And so if that goes wrong up, if it goes wrong in the upward direction, it's really problematic. But to your point, when it goes well, it's actually the best thing. It's the best possible thing for you. What about the master who's getting outshined? Like, let's look at it from that perspective.
I think it, so I think there's two types of like masters getting outshined. The one, and the most interesting ones are the ones that are, when you've got it like IC's and like middle management or like managers and directors.
Yep.
Because like executives getting outshined is like from like that reporting is like less of a thing because it's like outshined. Sure. It can happen, but it's like outshined to who, right? Yep. But it's way messier, like manager, director, IC, manager, like that world.
Totally.
Way messier. Totally.
Yep.
So I'm going to assume we're talking like that.
Yep.
That world.
Agreed.
Yeah, I think there's two ways to handle it. One is to, I think the only good way to handle it is like to address it of like, yes, hey, like, I don't know what you might be this, talk mm-hmm. about it. But the second component is you can, if you can figure out how to equip that person, like I just said, to like do it the right way of like, hey, like I actually appreciate the initiative, like, but we got to be aligned first.
Yep.
Then go do that.
Yep.
Which that's probably easier than pushing somebody to like be proactive. I think it's yep. harder to push somebody to be proactive. It is easier to like rein somebody in a little bit and like get aligned.
Agreed.
And then like have them be proactive.
Agreed.
And like do stuff.
Yep.
I would say early on as a manager, I didn't want to deal with like reining people in because mm-hmm. like, oh, that's annoying. But I've learned that although like that's kind of annoying, it's easier.
It's way easier
than trying to push yep. people to like be proactive and
yep. It's directing energy as opposed to creating. Trying to create yeah. energy.
Creating energy is way for harder. Sure.
So much harder.
Mostly impossible.
Right. I agree. I think when I think about managers who are the best managers, where I've run into it, where you bump up against it in terms of outshining, is the ones who, well, let me actually explain it this way. An ideal relationship, right? Which I've had this a couple times in my career, and it's really, really wonderful, right? Is there's a manager who is like a really good manager, and they have people on their team who are really talented, and because they have a high functioning team, they get pulled into like critical projects and other things like that. And so opportunities are naturally created for that manager's reports to, you know, sort of, you know, be pulled into things in the organization,
right?
Or find opportunities to sort of outshine the master or go skip level or whatever, right? And in the best scenario, and this is just great career advice in general, whenever those opportunities pop up, like just talk to your boss about them.
Sure.
Right? The very first thing you should do is talk to your boss about them. Because if you have that great relationship, like your boss is going to want you to stay happy, productive,
right,
et cetera.
Right.
And it's actually bad for your boss if they create an environment where you don't like your job and you eventually leave the company. Sure. They're going to get a bunch of heat for that, where it's like, this person's awesome. Yeah. Like, why couldn't you retain them? Right.
Right.
And so it's actually better for them, even if the long-term outcome of this is that you go report to someone else or you get pulled to a different team or whatever, that is a way better outcome for your boss than them trying to like keep you in a box or whatever.
Right. And especially at a larger company, like it's a really good outcome for your boss to lose some percentage of people to other teams.
Yeah.
Because then they have advocates all over the company that loved working like for you. And then the other component that I was thinking about, as far as like just thinking through relationships, is there's also like a really, and this is just practical, like obviously this isn't controllable, but if you work for like a really tenured person, like that's just been doing it a lot longer than you,
mm-hmm.
and like knows they're good at it and feels secure that they're good at their job, like that's also a thing where totally. They just aren't going to feel outshined.
Yes.
You know, like it just kind of doesn't matter. You can still like do the wrong thing, like probably like do things that like be out of line a little bit, and they can help like guide you, but they're not going to feel outshined.
Yes. Okay. That was the second. Okay. So that's the ideal scenario.
Right.
And a lot of times in that scenario, the boss has a huge level of confidence.
Yeah.
Right. It's just, you know, and I would say another thing, they have a huge level of confidence. And they are actually very okay. And I would say, again, we're talking about sort of the middle layer here at the executive level. This would be problematic from a career standpoint. Sure. But even maybe they're okay with an outcome where it's like, wow, like maybe the, like I've put together such a powerful team here that we need to rethink this and I need to go do something else or manage a different team or like, you know, whatever. There could not be a better compliment to you in the organization, right?
I had one boss who absolutely made like my career in a lot of ways. Whereas like he told me like early on, he's like, and it was cool because like I could have been his kid. Like there was like a pretty good age gap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not quite, but close. But I mean, it was the best thing. He told me early on is like, if you, something like I'd be like honored to report to you one day. Like like if I do this right, like that would be like an amazing
outcome. Totally. Yes, exactly.
And there's not that many people that are out there that are
so
like
rare.
That.
So yeah. You can't outshine that guy, but the,
you won't. If you set up the relationship that way.
If you set up the relationship, you won't.
Yeah.
But the other thing, then I think this is really important because I think this is another thing that you may not, let me phrase it this way. I absolutely did not think about early in my career, but that I have perceived enough times now.
Right.
If you do try to outshine that guy, you may find your career at a dead end in that organization without really knowing why, but it's because that guy railroaded you for stepping out of line.
Yeah.
Right.
Could
and
be,
like
yeah.
someone of that tenure, like right. they are way better at chess than you.
Yeah, right.
And even if right. you're more talented than them from a skill level, you're not going to outplay the chess game if they have that many reps.
Well, and our dear Reddit reader here, I think I would guess, we don't know the situation, that it was a very like specific, like who knows what profession of it is. Mm-hmm. Like he is better at the thing, like the
yes.
task, the
for sure.
engineering, the whatever, accounting, like I don't know.
Yep.
He's better at the thing and doesn't have an appreciation for like it's way bigger than just like doing the thing.
Yes. Totally. Absolutely. Yeah. That's actually another really great thing to realize earlier in career is that you may encounter situations where your raw skill at your job is better than what your boss can do, but that's not the reason that they're the boss.
They're the boss.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, right.
Now, okay, quick side note. It is astounding when you are in a situation where your boss really is like that good. And it's like when they do individual contributor work,
right.
it's phenomenal.
Yeah, that's fun.
That
yeah.
is super fun. Right. Actually, my boss right now is very much
right.
like that.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, I mean, he's an executive and so he, right. you know, has a lot of like managerial
right.
duty, but he will like ship work product and everyone's like, this guy is
yeah
so good. You know, he's yeah. just like very, very
and
good.
And those are like, I think those are really rare. Isn't
so
the
rare.
Best bosses because it's like, you think you're so good, like whatever job you are, like whether it's coding or content, like
yeah.
whatever you're doing. And then like, they've got so many reps that like 30 minutes of their time is worth like a day of your time.
100%.
And like, and it feels magical. It feels like there's no way they did that
it's
in
30
awesome. Minutes. Like, well, it's the coolest thing.
The other thing is the other thing I've learned, like, okay, so I think I've had only two bosses who had this characteristic,
okay.
like my current one being one of them.
Yeah.
The other major thing there is the rate at which they can learn new things is absolutely mind-boggling.
Right.
Right? Because it's like, well, even if I don't know a lot about that, I will learn it extremely quickly and become adept at it.
Right.
Like very, very, very
right.
fast, you know,
right.
which is awesome.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say is, okay, the inverse of that is someone who is really worried about maintaining their manager level position, really
yeah, yeah.
worried about, you know, they call it kingdom building,
yep.
you know, worried about maintaining control of their
right.
reports. And in those situations, those are people who will go Machiavellian on you if you try to outshine them. And what's difficult there is that creates a career trap, right?
Yes.
Because
they're blocking your progress.
They
in
are
the
blocking your progress yep. in the organization.
Yep.
And that is really, really difficult. And I don't, that's pretty challenging to
overcome.
I think
it's the number one reason that I would advise people to leave a company.
Yes.
Like there's a lot of
yep.
situations where you're like, oh, I don't know, maybe I should leave. And I'll like, I feel like I often advise people to stay.
Or switch teams.
Or switch teams. Like just stay. But that the number, if you have a bad manager that won't advocate for you and is going to like block any of your promotions, like you have to like switch teams or leave.
Yeah. Because, and actually, okay, this is great. 'Cause we're coming full circle.
Yep.
a Reddit reader may be in a situation like that.
Yeah.
So maybe. It could be, I mean, there are multiple flavors, right?
Right.
One you brought up, which I think is based on the tone of the post, is probably more of a...
I'm reading into it because it's Reddit, to be completely honest.
Biased.
This has to be a person that decided to post this on Reddit.
Yes.
But, yeah.
So I would agree with you that it's probably an issue of I'm misinterpreting my skill level.
Right. I'm really...
you know? But there's another version of this where maybe that person has been blocked by their, you know, by their boss, but let's just assume that that's the case for the sake of argument. Okay. Right. The point that I'm making is in those situations, you will opportunities. If you're working hard, if you're talented, whatever, opportunities will come up to outshine the master. They just occur naturally in many situations. And it's a matter of whether you can create them proactively. Right.
Right.
But if you're, again, like if you're working hard, talented, whatever, like they also present themselves naturally.
Right.
And so you have a choice of whether to take advantage of those opportunities or not.
Right.
And so let's assume this person was blocked by their boss. Like it can seem like the right thing to do to take advantage of those opportunities, even if you kind of do it in a respectful way.
Right.
But if your boss fits the profile of someone who's blocking and kingdom building and whatever, or, you know, insecure or those sorts of things, it will come back. It is almost always a bad idea because they will try to control that.
Right. I think there's two sides of this. If the boss fits the profile, I completely agree. But I think the other thing is I think people think they can hide their motives when they like often can't. So like if your motive is like climbing, like ladder climbing, it's going to come out.
It will come out. Yes.
And I'd even say there's some situations where like two different people can do the same thing and like not inform boss, inform boss, whatever, the exact same thing. And one of them, everybody knows is like political and a ladder climber.
Yeah.
And one of them, everybody knows is genuine and just trying to like do a good job.
Exactly. Yep.
And you can get two different reactions.
Yep. I think that is
a thing too.
Yep. I totally agree. Yeah. It is really interesting. I think the understanding of whether, well, we've talked about this a little bit in a couple of episodes, but I wrote a blog post about this. We may have done an episode on this, but I wrote a blog post about pursuing craft, not politics.
Yeah. We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes. But there is a point at which if you're accomplished enough in your career that as a manager you can begin to pursue politics as sort of the end, right?
Yeah.
Not the craft of your actual job, right?
Right.
And one thing that I think I was naive about early in my career was, I mean, is that people who do that are extremely shrewd and are extremely good at politics.
Yeah. They've invested a ton of time in it.
So much time in it.
Yeah.
And so,
cause you can't really do both.
You can't do both.
Yeah.
You cannot do both.
Like you've either spent tons and tons and tons of reps like over here developing a craft. I mean, I guess some people have maybe split between the two. I don't know. But it feels like you kind of focus one way or the other.
Well,
for most people.
The way that it plays out, actually, let's go back to the great bosses that we talked about.
Yeah.
Politics are mandatory in any organization.
Yeah. Yeah.
Literally any organization, right? And when I say politics, it just means that, like, people make bad decisions. People are imperfect. Like people are imperfect. And so a consequence of that is, you know, you just have to deal with making relationships work, making decisions, dealing with mistakes, your own, other people's, all that sort of stuff. Right. And you want to get a project done. You have to deal with all of those components in order to get the project, you know, done.
Right.
Or get the budget or whatever it is. And so if we go back to those, like the great bosses, for them, it's like, okay, I will engage in just enough politics to like do great work, right? Like it is a means to a different end. And they have to do both. The higher you up in an organization you are, the more politics that you have to do. It's mandatory, right? And so even if you take two people where you say, okay, half of your job is politics and half of your job is like the work or whatever,
yep.
The mindset with which you approach it, it just changes everything, right? Like, I'm doing this because it's just a necessary part of being, you know, part of the organization, and I have to have a level of skill here.
Yeah.
But my focus isn't primarily on developing
that skill. It's the same thing we talked about earlier as far as, like, people, I suppose maybe sociopaths are good at this, but, like, normal people are actually not that good at hiding their motives over a long period of time.
Yes. Yes.
Like, it just comes out.
If someone is good at that, I mean, you have to be wary.
Yeah. I think it's like psychopath, sociopathy territory. Like, I think that's like part of that.
It's true. But people get good at that.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
You know, people get good at
that. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So what are let's land the plane. What are our all lessons? Right. So
what should we tell our Reddit?
Our Reddit friend? Yes. Okay, that's a great way to end it. Let's give advice to our Reddit friend.
I want to call him Robert, but I don't know. His name is not on there. I don't know. In my mind, he's a Robert.
His name is deleted.
Yeah, deleted, yeah.
Do you want me to go first or do you want to go first?
Go for it.
Okay, Robert. So, first of all, I would ask you to examine your, like, what are your goals, right? And I would say, if your goal is climbing the ladder, it will never make you happy. Just won't make you happy. It sounds like you're talented. And so just focus on your craft. And if you have a good boss and you've just intentionally been going around them, just have a conversation with them and say, hey, look, I have broken hierarchy and chain of command. And that's obviously bothered you. And that's completely inappropriate. And so my commitment to you is that if any other opportunities come up like that, or if anyone communicates with me, I'm not going to respond until I talk with you first.
Right.
Right. Like, we are going to have the conversation because I would love your advice on this. Because, and actually the other thing I would say to Robert, well, I'll just say it to Robert. Robert.
Yeah.
One thing that you don't know, and this goes to another episode we should record on circles of competence. Your boss knows more about what's going on in the organization than you do. They just do. And even if you feel very, very strongly to the contrary, it's not true.
Right.
And you are absolutely, we didn't even talk about this earlier in the episode, but when you go to outshine the master, you're waiting in territory where your circle of competence is way smaller than your boss's. It is way smaller because you're not in the meetings that they're in.
Yeah.
You're not privy to the information they have. And so when you operate in an area where your circle of competence is smaller, it's dangerous. Like, you expose yourself to way more risk, right? And so,
and risk that you're not aware of.
Risk that you're not aware
of. Which is not your fault that you're not aware of it.
Right.
Yeah.
But your boss can actually be your biggest ally because they can tell you things. I'll give you a great example, actually, Robert. Let's say there's a project that someone asks, like, you go get involved in a project with someone who's above your boss or lateral to your boss or whatever. Yep. Okay. It's like super exciting or whatever. Right. On paper, everything lines up. This is great. This is a cool opportunity. Yeah. You know, it's great for your career, whatever. Right. But your boss may know that that department is getting their budget slashed in half,
right?
You know, and is going to, you know, have headcount cut or whatever it is. Right. Completely get, you know, there are all these things, right? Maybe they know that someone is going to get promoted to like lead that department and, you know, whatever it is, right? There's some change that's going to happen, right? And so you don't know that. It's outside of your circle of competence. And so even just from a very practical standpoint, like, you expose yourself to a lot more risk, even risk that's sort of outside of your boss.
Right.
So I would say, go talk to your boss, apologize, see if you can repair the relationship, and then just start building a relationship. If they're a good boss, if you think they have that capacity. If they're blocking you, you either need to leave the company or move, and hopefully you haven't done enough damage at this point that you could stay, you know, if you want to stay.
Yeah. All right. Two things. One, on circle of competence, there's actually two levels to that. One, there is what both you and I have done. If you have been in the positions and then you're in a new spot where, like, you're not privy to meetings, but you've been in the positions,
mm-hmm.
you can fill in gaps that other people can't.
Yes.
Because you can, you don't know all the details, but you can have a spectrum yep. of like, I don't know what happened in the meeting, but it was probably one of these three things.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, if you've never been in that meeting, like you don't know.
Mm.
So that's a piece.
Yes.
Like,
yep.
and
yep.
Justin yep. and Robert like seems like has probably never been in those meetings
yep.
at another company either.
Yep.
The other piece, like to like go into your boss, like you said, I can't think of a more rare but like exceptional quality than self-awareness in an employee.
Mm.
It is like one of the most exciting yes. things.
Yes.
Like it's the best. And I actually got to have a conversation with somebody that works
oh,
for
really?
Me this week. And it wasn't something that I felt like they did wrong, but they like recounted to me in a conversation, like proved that they were self-aware about a situation and told me about an adjustment they were going to make in a meeting that I was not in.
Wow.
It was amazing. It was so good.
That's incredible.
Yeah. But, yeah, so I think, again, maybe you don't have a good boss, but if you have a good boss and you show up, you're self-aware and you tell them how you're going to correct your behavior, like, wow, like
yes.
nobody does that.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think the last thing that I'll say is outshine the master ultimately. I mean, it is really interesting because I think that my take on it is actually slightly different than sort of the raw take on, yeah. you know, the laws of power.
Right.
But it ultimately boils down to trust.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? And in many ways, it is as simple as if your boss can give you privileged information and you just don't tell anyone that information.
Right.
like,
right.
can they trust you?
Right.
You know, can I tell you things that are important that will help you without you going and telling other people, whether those people are your peers, whether they're my peers or whether
right.
they're above me. But trust is just so, unfortunately, it's actually pretty rare.
Right.
Right. And so not outshining the master is actually a manifestation of you building a trust relationship with your boss. Right.
Yeah.
Because sure. if we have a trust relationship, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
Because I want you to trust me. And so that means I'm going to like ask you about this, you know, before I do it or when something
yeah.
comes up.
But ironically, like if you have a trust relationship, the amount of like things that would be perceived as outshining the master goes down.
It diminishes it
yeah.
so much.
Yeah.
In fact, actually, your boss may even bring those opportunities to
right.
you.
Agreed.
Right. Yeah. Where it's like, hey, there's this person working on this. I think you should work on it. It's like, whoa,
right.
like that's your boss.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, I know. But,
yeah. right.
you know,
which I said, like, if you're the manager there, like pro move, if you can get exposure to your great people, like to people above you, like it's one of the best things.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Okay. I'm going to end with a great story about this.
All right. Ready.
This is fun. I don't know if I've told you this. Okay. This is so random, but the former CFO of Atlassian, who's now a partner at Excel.
Yeah. Local.
Yep.
Local
he
guy.
Lives in, he was in San Francisco for
Gross,
a long time,
yeah.
but, you know, family from Greenville. Mm-hmm. And so he lives like a couple streets over.
Right. Yeah.
And so I see him a couple times a year at neighborhood stuff mm-hmm. and trick or treating and whatever. Yeah. And so last Halloween I started talking with him
uh-huh.
and, it just turns out that he had some connections to some people in San Francisco who were like very high up in, you know, the company and, you know, sort of the executive echelon,
yeah.
you know, at my current company, whatever.
Okay.
Right. And so he told me to say hey to this person
right.
who's like very high
yeah.
in our organization.
Right.
Yeah, right. You know, and at that point, I'm an individual contributor,
yeah,
like
yeah.
way down the totem
right.
pole on the marketing team, right? And
right.
so that's just a situation where it's like, well, I mean, of course, in this conversation with the Atlassian guy, I was like, yeah, sure, right?
Okay,
but I'm
sure.
like, okay, like, this is weird, like, direct outreach in a remote
right, right,
environment.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, how do you handle
I'm the
that?
New guy, yeah, sure.
I'm the new guy, like, who am I?
Right.
Like, you know, no one knows who
like,
I am.
This is good.
And...
Yeah.
So anyways, that's just a great example of like,
right.
I could have done that and I think it would have been fine.
Right.
But I just talked to my boss about it and gave
yeah.
him context and said,
right.
hey, I'm not going to reach out
right.
to a person of this profile right. without you knowing about it.
Right.
Right. Like it's just yeah. not appropriate. Right.
Well, and I think the other problem with situations like this is people just like, you know, the term like money burning a hole in your pocket. It's like, mm-hmm. hold on to that. And then like at the company event at the offsite, when you like happen to run into this person, be like, hey, how's it going? Like,
exactly.
Like, then just like, use it 6 months from now. Like you yeah. don't have to.
Oh,
like,
oh man, such a good point.
Yeah,
such a good point. I actually waited a really long time.
Yeah,
because I was like, okay. I mean, yeah. you know, because people are busy, and you know, sure. how do you? It's like kind of a weird ask because you right. need to give context. Or
yeah,
whatever. Yeah. But anyway, it's just that's a yeah, super that's a perfect small example.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Well, you really could have gone either way. It's not that big a deal.
Right, but it goes back to trust. Right.
right.
Where it's like
right.
my commitment is
especially like day one. You're like, what?
Yeah. Like yeah. well, and it's like I'm right. not. You know, and it's the other thing is it's like okay. This is a random connection from like whatever,
right.
you know, it's like,
yeah.
this is,
yeah.
you know, but it's just over the years I've learned like, okay, if there's one thing I want, it's my boss to trust me, you know?
Yeah,
and so even something yeah. small like that,
you pick one thing like that
is a signal that's like, yeah. hey, like I am not going to tread in areas of authority above you
right.
without your explicit knowledge
yeah,
and
yeah,
approval.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. There we go.
Cool. That's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It.